Talk Morning Show. Hot Talk for Pawleys Island, Little River, and the entire Grand Strand. Hot Talk 99.5.
All right, every so often I'll be in the car late in the afternoon tuned in to Hot Talk at 99.5 FM on the radio dial, and I'll hear a little Leonard Skinner come over the airwaves. And of course, from 3 to 6 during the week, you hear Sean Hannity. And every once in a while, one of his longtime friends will join in on a week-to-week basis to comment on the news of the day. And without further ado, let's introduce our next guest. His name's Bill O'Reilly. He's got a new book out, Confronting Evil, diving into the lives of history's most evil men. Mr. O'Reilly, good morning to you, sir.
Thanks for having me in, John. How are you?
It's Joe, but that's all right. Joe, John, it's Joe.
Sorry, I got it on my sheet.
Well, they totally screwed that one up, Mr. O'Reilly. Nonetheless, you know, I got an 8-year-old daughter. I'm not going to subject her to you and Hannity, you know, at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, we'll put on some tunes and let her, you know, live the innocent life she should be living at 8 years old. But my dad did not do that to me, and that's how I grew up, listening to the likes of Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity at 42 years old. Let me ask you first, before we get into Confronting Evil, who were some of the newscasters and people that you found interesting as a young guy growing up and trying to form your opinions of the day?
There were three. I'm not a kind of guy that idolizes people, but once I started my career, there were three guys that caught my attention. First was a guy named Tom Snyder. He used to do the Tomorrow Show. He was a New York and L.A. local anchor, mesmerizing on the air. Then Howard Cosell, the sportscaster.
Sure.
Because he got a reaction for every whatever he did, mostly negative, but the guy was engaging. And the third one, and the best one ever, was Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes. Unbelievable interviewer, very tough guy. And I would say that he probably influenced me the most because I got to know him. And boy, oh boy, that guy was the best.
Were there specific instances in history, news stories of the day when you were coming up that really got you engaged and interested in the politics and the news of our country?
Well, I was teaching high school down in South Florida in a very tough ghetto school. But I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life, not because it was not worthy. It was. But I was looking for a bigger canvas, and Watergate was raging at the time. And the reportage and the back and forth between the Nixon administration and the Washington Post was exciting. And that got my attention to go into journalism. So you're asking good questions, Joe. This is a lifelong, obviously, 50 years now in journalism for me. But that lighted the fuse, that Watergate situation.
Yeah, I would say, well, for me, being a kid that grew up just outside of New York City over in Jersey across the river, 9/11, you know, while I was a senior in high school, it was the most influential thing that's ever happened in my life that really got me into listening and wanted to know the news of the day, and then, you know, watching folks like yourself, among many others, to help craft my thoughts of the day for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week now here in Myrtle Beach. By the way, one of the fastest-growing areas in the fastest-growing state in the country, Mr. O'Reilly, and we're bringing all that wealth, as they do in Florida, Texas. They get all the love. The Carolinas have grown by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands over the last 10 years because of that Yankee transplant halfback mindset to live a better quality of life and a cheaper way of living.
Well, you don't want to get too many people down there, Joe. That's number one. I have family outside of Charleston. I know the Low Country pretty well and the Cape Fear coast. I've been there many times. Great place. But you're going to get you're going to make more friends in the next few years as New York City declines quickly, and it will.
Yeah, there's no question.
Just can't tax people the rate that the new mayor, who's a communist, is wanting to tax them. He does have to get approval from the state, and the state will deny him something. But there'll be taxes on everything that you do in New York City. And people, working people in particular, are going to go, it's just not worth it. And they're going to start to migrate to places that are much easier to live. And Myrtle Beach area, you got the ocean there. You got good weather, as you were reporting on the lead-in to me. It gets a little steamy in the summer. You got to be able to handle that. Nice folks. So you're going to have a lot more company in, I'd say, a year and a half than you have now.
It's amazing. The folks that move here immediately want to put up a wall after they move here to prevent further Yankee invasion into the South. Talking with Bill O'Reilly, his new book, Confronting Evil. Speaking of confronting evil, you've taken time to look into the lives of some of the most evil men in the history of the world. You start with, of course, Russian President Vladimir Putin. What inspired you to take a look into these folks and the influence that they've had over the world's history?
Well, my books take a year to write, and last year at this time I was writing Evil, but I decided to do it in the summer of 2024 because I noticed a rise in evil in the United States under the Biden administration, which was a look-away administration. What does that mean? There were a lot of vexing problems, there always are. And President Biden did not want to engage. He didn't want to solve them for whatever reason. I mean, he can say ideology. You can say he was the, you know, his physical and mental capacities were shrinking. But he didn't engage. And that leads to evil. So if you don't punish criminals in urban centers like New York, Chicago, L.A., you can assault people. You can hurt people. And you're not going to do any time. And a lot of times they'll just kick you back on the street so you can assault somebody else. That's insane. And so I saw that, and I said, you know, I'm going to write about people hurting other people on a mass scale. Who are the worst ever? And I'm going to list them down. And we've got 15 miscreants in Confronting Evil. One's worse than the other. But I had to make it contemporary, so Putin, who's the worst guy on the planet right now, he's on a cover. Along with the Ayatollah Khomeini, that he lighted the fuse for the jihad. You're talking about 9/11. It goes right back to him. And then we got Mao and Hitler, and then 11 others inside the book. So that's how that whole thing evolved.
Now, when you look at you know, evil people and the way we water down you know, some of their history based on throwing out terms that are associated with them and comparing contrast with, say, our current commander-in-chief, you know, what troubles do we run into when we, as I said, water down the evilness and the hatred and the death of you know, millions of people at the hands of these evildoers that you write about, you know, when we compare and contrast those people as to one like Donald Trump, for instance?
Well, you got to live in the real world, and a lot of Americans don't want to do that. And it's easier than ever to live in a bubble world because of the cell phones and the computers, and you create your own world. And kids are doing that. So they used to go out and they play, and they used to be the schoolyards are full of kids running around, and now they're inside. And they're creating this own world of whatever they want to do, and adults do it too. Makes it easier to look away from reality. So President Trump I've known for more than 35 years, Joe. You may know that. I have a long history with him. And he's the kind of guy, like me, he's a baby boomer, old school, who says that there are right and there are wrong. And in my estimation, he tries to mitigate the wrong. Now, sometimes he doesn't do it in the right way. Sometimes it's overkill and all that, but he is genuinely outraged about it, where a lot of politicians are not. They're going to just say, oh, well, it's always been that way, and I'm not going to really get involved. Charlotte, North Carolina, is a good example of that, where that poor woman was knifed on a bus. Mm. That judge that let that killer out, still sitting there. Nobody did anything to her. That's so outrageous. The guy had 13 priors. Mm. And the judge is still sitting there, and the system doesn't do anything about it? Come on. And yeah. If that's the kind of country you want, then you're going to have anarchy. And that's what we had under the Biden administration with the 10 to 15 million people allowed into the country unsupervised. And now the cleanup is involved, and it's very difficult for the federal government to do this, and they're making some mistakes.
We talk about trying to do anything and everything and throw everything to the wall, see if it sticks with the kitchen sink to take away the accomplishments and whatever President Trump has tried to achieve during his time in politics, referencing another book that you wrote a while back, Killing the Witches. I was actually up in Salem, Massachusetts, giving my daughter and wife a little educational tour throughout southern New England just a few weeks back. And you talk about witch hunts and what that looked like way back when. I mean, we see that even in present day, don't we, based on what we've experienced through the last 8 or 10 years?
Well, that's the crux of the matter with these Epstein papers. So, you got these people are screaming, oh, I want to see everything, I want to see everything. I do a News Nation hit with Chris Cuomo every Wednesday. You mentioned yeah. Hannity radio hit I do every Wednesday on your station with Hannity. But I do a News Nation TV hit, and I debated Cuomo. Cuomo, he doesn't care. I said, well, look, the guy knew thousands of people, Epstein, and some of their names are going to be in those papers. And you release those papers unredacted, those people are going to get hurt. But he doesn't care. He wants the papers. And he'll go, well, the people will decide. People will decide what? We don't have investigative powers. We don't have subpoena powers. We don't know. We can't put it into context. So you're willing to release this massive paper that anybody who ever had anything to do with Epstein's name is in there, and their lives are going to be shattered. That's what held this thing up. But now, with Congress involved, it's like, but a lot of people are going to get hurt. You wait and see, Joe.
And we'll find out this week, of course, with now the president calling on House Republicans to move forward with a vote that will open the book, so to speak. Got a few more minutes with Bill O'Reilly, new book, Confronting Evil, digging into the history of the world's most evil men, from Hitler to Mao to President Vladimir Putin on the cover of his book, as he said. Mr. O'Reilly, as you look at the Trump administration, 2.0, as it were, through 11 months of the administration, if you can give it a grade, what would that grade be?
B, solve the border problem, basically threw down the gauntlet against the permissive justice system, got the hostages out in Gaza, neutralized China to the extent that they're not aggressively causing much trouble now. That could change, momentarily it could change, but he's done some good things. The weakness is he doesn't have an apparatus in the White House that explains a lot of stuff. So, for example, he's blowing drug boats out of water in the Caribbean, getting resistance now on that. He's got to say, look, this is how we know that these boats are carrying narcotics that are going to wind up in the United States and kill people. This is how we know it. You don't have to give names and addresses, but you got to basically tell the people that you're just not blowing up fishermen, which is what the progressive left is throwing out there. Because you got to understand it, and I don't know whether the president understands the extent of this. Whatever Trump does is going to be opposed by the progressive left.
Sure.
Whatever he does, 100%. And the progressive left can get its message out very quickly through the NBCs of the world and the liberal networks. They can do that in very, very efficiently. The White House has got to have a bulwark against that, got to get ahead of that. Or it's every day Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil, without an explanation. Now, Trump himself is available, is accessible, not like Biden was not, couldn't get him at all. Trump will get out there, but he speaks imprecisely sometimes, causing more of a controversy. He's got to have some methodical people in there with explanations about why things are happening. That's the weakness at this point.
That sounds like a 1991 Sister Leonarda, Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School, Milltown, New Jersey grade of a B, and not a 2025, Horry County Public School, Mrs. Smith, 8th grade classroom B grade, Mr. O'Reilly, trying to, hold it to account in terms of the accomplishments, in terms of the things that they need to work on. And obviously, before I let you go, these are the things that they're going to need to work on, right, if they hope to hold the majority with the headwinds against them traditionally into the midterms. So, at this point, a lot is going to change after the holidays. But where do you see, next year going and how that plays out for the Republican majority?
Well, I'm certainly aware of it. Over the weekend, they dropped tariffs on a lot of food. They got to get prices down. The reason the beef price is so high is because of that disease in Mexico that's infected their cattle down there. And the United States has walled off. We don't take any meat from Mexico. That's really hurt the supply. So when the supply goes down, the prices go up. So the Trump administration knows all about the economy. The people are not, they're not going to vote on China or Gaza or any of that. They're going to vote on the grocery store. So whether or not the administration can get those things under control, no one knows. But it's going to be a tight one, but they're aware of it. And they are doing, certain things. But my philosophy to Americans is, look, you have the responsibility to your family to shop and to spend responsibly. You can always find deals, a little harder, but, I'm not buying steak. I'm not. because it's way too out of control. I'll buy fish or chicken or whatever, but it's not that I'm cheap. I could afford 85,000 steaks, but I'm trying to send a message to my viewers, and there are plenty of them on the No Spin News and YouTube and all of that, that if the American consumer says enough to a certain product and they don't buy, the product's price will come down. That's how you do it. And again, that's the messaging that should be coming out of the White House. Be discriminant in what you buy. I've set up this Christmas purchasing stuff, great stuff, on BillO'Reilly.com. It'll save you a bloody fortune, Joe. If you're a fan of my books or anything like that, we are giving you great prices on gifts that will save you literally hundreds of dollars if you take us up on the offers. And they're good. It's good stuff, made in America stuff. But that, a lot of people, I don't want to be bothered. Whatever it is, I'll pay it. No, it's not going to help you. It's certainly not going to help the American economy.
Hey, go to BillO'Reilly.com, pick up his latest book, Confronting Evil, just in time for the holidays. And you can listen to Mr. O'Reilly here on this station on Hot Talk 99.5, 9 p.m. weekdays, along with all of his commentary that you can get through No Spin News. And, of course, on his YouTube channel as well, BillO'Reilly.com. Mr. O'Reilly, thanks, as always, for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me in. Anytime you need me, just give me a ring.